Primetime replay from Money FM 89.3.
Markets across asset classes are waiting for fresh catalysts on the U.S.-China trade agreement and whether we will or will not see a deal before the year ends. And a little bit of a back and forth after earlier this week, U.S. President Donald Trump mentioned that he did not agree to roll back tariffs as was previously reported. How is this and other developments in the geopolitical landscape affecting the Forex markets as we head towards the end of the year? Well, today on Forex Fridays, we're joined by Mr. Terence Wu. He's the Forex strategist over at OCBC, who's been keeping close tabs of all of these developments. And we want to pick his brain as to what he's seeing and what he's thinking. Terence, thank you so much for joining us, and good afternoon to you.
Yeah, good afternoon, JP.
Well, Terence, okay, so let's start off again with these fluctuating developments. And some days we have pronouncements that we might be close to an interim trade deal. Some days things get walked back and then suddenly uncertainty gets introduced again. And we've seen actually the Chinese yuan itself strengthen just a little bit on some of the positive developments over the last couple of weeks. It seems to have walked that back just a little bit so far today. Can you talk to us about how this is shaping, or how this uncertainty is shaping or maybe making your prognosis on the Chinese yuan, both onshore and offshore, more difficult? Or basically, just give us an idea of how this is shaping your outlook on the renminbi.
Yeah. For the CNY and the dollar CNH, we do think that the outlook is actually quite binary at this point in time, and a lot of it depends on the successful completion of the Sino-US Phase 1 deal. So if we do actually see a successful completion of that, then we do expect the pairs to shift lower towards 6.8. Whereas if the Phase 1 deal falls apart, then we may actually retest the highs of 7.2. The problem is that the Sino-US trade situation is, of course, very fluid. The problem is that the timeline for the Sino-US signing of the Phase 1 deal keeps getting extended. And that has left room for uncertainties to creep in, just like it has in the past week. The other thing is that the market expectation for the Phase 1 deal has also been shifting over time. Initially, we thought that by having no new tariffs being implemented, that would be part of the Phase 1 deal. But after that, basically, now we are expecting a rollback of existing tariffs. So as you can see, the barriers to the Phase 1 deal is also getting higher. But nevertheless, the consensus expectation is still for the Phase 1 deal to be concluded at some point. So at least at this point, we are still biased for the dollar CNY to actually ease lower from the current levels. But nevertheless, JP, the risks are definitely rising at this point in time.
Okay, Terence, let me shift something to a different topic with regards to the Chinese yuan and the Chinese economy also. If we do see a trade deal get accomplished, is the next big problem for the Chinese economy then to deal with inflation? Some of the more skeptical analysts have hinted that inflation could even hit as high as 4 or 5% next year if they don't get these pork prices controlled. How closely are you guys watching the inflationary pressures in China with regards to the CNY? Or is the trade war still the biggest elephant or the biggest boogeyman in the room?
Yeah. We think that the trade war continues to be the biggest issue going forward. Even after the Phase 1 deal has been successfully concluded, if it will be, there will still be talks about Phase 2, Phase 3. Or basically, going forward, the progress of the deal towards a complete deal between the US and China will still be very hazy. As for the inflation front, we do think that a lot of the rising prices is actually due to pork prices, as you mentioned. So a lot of that is actually is a one-off kind of event. If you look at the broader trends in terms of the macroeconomic outlook in China, it continues to print quite weak. So at least for now, the higher CPI prints in China is not exactly something that we will be excessively worried about.
Okay. Terence, with regards to these trade wars and global macroeconomic uncertainty, we've seen a flight to safety once again benefiting the Japanese yen. Not great for Japanese stocks, but the Japanese yen was strengthening quite a bit. Another thing that folks were pointing out to as well was there was a sudden inflow of bargain hunters into Japanese stocks that were starting to buy up some of these stocks at cheap valuations. But they were saying that this also created more demand for the Japanese yen. which also led to its strengthening. As a Forex analyst, how closely do you guys watch out for these fund flows in other asset classes when determining the outlook of that currency, such as, say, the Japanese yen at this point?
Yes, we indeed see some good inflows into Japan, both into the equity and also the bond front. Definitely, these inflows is one of the key drivers that we are looking at for the Asian currencies in particular. But having said that, this is a little bit more of a longer-term kind of driver, especially for a risk-related currency like the yen. So definitely for the yen, the short-term drivers would be overall risk sentiment. And for now, that would be very much driven by the Sino-US trade developments.
Okay. We're still speaking to Terence Wu. He is a Forex strategist over at OCBC here on Forex Fridays. Another currency that also seems to have benefited from some inflows recently was the Korean won. And they also, this risk-on sentiment was benefiting the Korean won and helping it strengthen. But that, as we saw, that risk-on sentiment suddenly fizzled this week and has left it in wobblier waters also. What is your new outlook on the Korean won, Terence? Do you think that they can hold on and sustain some of these gains? Or do you think that eventually these uncertainties will see them start to just fade and soften by the year end?
Yeah, the Korean won, the outlook is very much dependent on the Sino-US developments. In fact, it is the currency that is the most reactive to the Sino-US headlines. From what we see now, a lot of the strengthening of the Korean won is actually very much sentiment-driven. If you compare it to, for example, macroeconomic outcomes, we have not seen significant improvements in Korea. And in terms of portfolio inflows, in fact, it has been actually moderating over the past 4 to 6 weeks. So very much what we see is that this strengthening of the Korean won is very much sentiment-driven, and it's not as fundamentally supported as, for example, the appreciation of the Taiwan dollar. So we do think that the Korean won is quite vulnerable to any abrupt turns, especially if Sino-US headlines turn south.
We haven't touched on monetary policy so much and how it affects some currencies until now, Terence. So when you look at, say, the Australian dollar, and I want to shift our attention down under right now, the Reserve Bank of Australia says they might not resume easing until next year. So we might see some more stimulus and easing on their part. But for now, it seems that this is their holding down pat for the moment. Is there a pause, do you think, in the downside weakness for the Australian dollar until the year end? And what might be your 2020 outlook for the Aussie?
Yeah, the prospects on the Aussie dollar actually has turned south again just this week. Much of it is due to the big and unexpected miss in terms of the unemployment data that we just saw in the middle of the week. And that in itself has put RBA rate cuts back into the spotlight again. Although, as you said, we are not immediately expecting to see another rate cut soon at the RBA, but the chatter for more easing actions definitely have picked up compared to, say, for example, 1 week ago. The other thing that has very much weighed on negatively on the Australian dollar is the Chinese data prints. And again, this week, we have seen the Chinese data prints actually come out softer than expected. And that in itself lead us to think that it is premature to expect China and Asia macro outlook to bottom out and recover in the near term. And that in itself is actually negative on a cyclical currency like the Australian dollar. So regarding the outlook for next year, I think the Australian dollar will continue to be a bit on the weak side, especially in the first 1 to 2 quarters. It is only towards the third and fourth quarter that we may actually see a slight rebound in the Australian dollar, especially if we do see the Asian macroeconomic outlook turn better towards the second half of 2020.
Finally, Terence, this is a currency that we've been revisiting on and off for most of the year, the British pound. They've been holding their own pretty much leading up into next month's elections. And even though there are news that the Conservatives might be holding a commanding lead and could still keep control of British government and thus set us up for a Brexit, it seems that the British pound isn't really flinching towards this. Right now, are Forex traders like yourself just really wanting just some clarity on where the political direction of the UK is going with regards to the British pound, and more so than say, and more importantly than say, versus say, avoiding a no deal outcome at this point? Are you guys just settling right now for some clarity versus say, a firm avoidance of no deal?
Yeah, definitely. A firm avoidance of no deal Brexit would definitely be positive on the sterling. By and large, this upcoming election is important only in as much as it will affect the Brexit outcome. So going forward, in terms of the election outcome, we do expect it to be dollar positive. Sorry, we do expect it to be sterling positive if results in a government with a good working majority, regardless of whether it is going to be a Conservative-led majority or a Labour-led majority. So at least, like you mentioned, for now, the consensus view seems to be a Conservative majority government will be returned in the next elections. We do think that that in itself is keeping the sterling quite supported, simply because a strong Conservative-led government would actually very likely pass the existing Brexit deal as it stands. So that in itself would deliver an orderly Brexit. What we are afraid of at this point is if the election returns a government with a very slim majority or even a hung parliament, then in that case, it will give disproportionate influence to the smaller parties or interest groups. And that may actually muddle the way forward for Brexit again.
Okay, very interesting insights there. We'll have to leave it there. Terence Wu, the Forex strategist at OCBC, thank you once again for joining us today on Forex Fridays, and have a great weekend ahead, sir.
All right, thank you, JP.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.
Thank you for your time, sir.